Hello, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. This week we're taking a break from our regular studies. We're going to spend a week with the man Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, if you have the Word of God before you, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we would ask for your guidance today. We would ask that you would go before us with your Spirit, that you would open hearts to hear your Word. Father, we pray for any lost soul that may be listening today, that they might see their need of Christ through the pictures of the Old Testament, Father. We pray that ones would see that Christ is truly the way, the truth, and the life. And we just thank you, Lord, for him and for your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. Yesterday we spent a little time in just some background of this economy of the Old Testament. The situation at hand was the kingdom had been split into Judah and Israel, and there was two lines of kings. We see the evil king of Israel right now is Ahab. Elijah is the prophet that was raised up during the reign of Ahab. And we see in our study that we looked at yesterday that he had been praying, and that God sent him before this man, Ahab, to tell him for the judgment was coming, there would be no rain. The book of James tells us for 3.5 years. But after this, we would like to look today at how God provides for this man, Elijah, and how he prepares this man, Elijah, for some future service for him. Let's look at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So we see there through verse 6 that God sends Elijah out to be alone. Note that. A good quote from my brother C.H. McIntosh says this, our time of training in secret must far exceed our time of acting in public. That's interesting, isn't it? Our time of training in secret must far exceed our time of acting in public. Take, for example, this Bible study, this 15-minute broadcast. I would be in a wanting position to give out the Word of God if I had only spent 15 minutes in study, in meditation, and in prayer. My time before the Lord alone must far exceed the time that I'm on the air preaching the word. That's the way I look at it, and I believe it's based on things such as this example of Elijah. God sent him by this brook Cherith to be alone with him. We see many times in the Word of God these men that were trained to by God to do a work. We think of Paul in the desert. We think of David out as a shepherd. We think of Moses out as a shepherd. We think of many people spending time alone with God. We see here that the word Cherith means separation. Separation. We see that Elijah was separate from the things of the world, alone with God. But let's note the ways of provision, the ravens, and the brook. We see here that ravens are birds that generally would not just come up to any man, but because God in his all-sufficiency, God directed the ravens to bring bread and flesh in the morning and the evening, and there was that brook where he could drink freely from, the brook Cherith. But you know, this man Elijah, in this humbling provision, was confronted with the fact that the brook would dry up. Let's read on. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, what we see here is that God will provide for Elijah in yet another humbling manner. A widow. A poor widow. As we would read on, we see how she was concerned about feeding her own, and Elijah came wanting to be fed. God provides in humbling ways sometimes, ways to make us think, make us stop and realize that we are dependent upon Him. Let's think about 2 Corinthians 12, where it tells us there of the all-sufficiency of Christ. If you have the word before you, just flip over there. 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 12. Look at verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He goes on to say, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had requested 3 times that a thorn in the flesh would be removed from him. But what he found out was that the grace of Christ is sufficient for him. We see that sometimes we pray and ask things of the Lord. You might honor that prayer with a yes. You may honor it with a wait. He may know that it's best for us if the answer is no. So here we see the sufficiency of Christ. We see with Elijah, he was provided by a poor widow. He was provided by a bird out in the wilderness. Now in verse 10 it says, So he rose, went to Zaphra, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. So after Elijah had been provided by an unclean bird, now it's by a poor Gentile widow. We see this as significance when we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we see the teaching of provision and humility. Scripture tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, He will exalt thee. Now we see here in our passage in 1 Kings 17 that this widow woman had a lesson that she could learn her own. We see that she was concerned about her son. She was concerned about her family being provided for. If we see here, if you do as unto the Lord first, God will provide for His own. Elijah and this widow both had something to learn in this situation. Elijah had been fed by an unclean bird and by a poor Gentile widow. This woman saw that she needed to trust the Lord and do as the Lord had before. We see here in Luke chapter 12, verse 22, our Lord speaking, and He said unto the disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? and which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Our Lord is sufficient, isn't he? As we've looked at Elijah, we've looked at this poor widow. If there's one out there today with worry and concern, the scripture tells us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn to the Lord if you're a person in need of salvation. If you're a person that's out there that knows the Lord, that you're worrying, Christ is sufficient for thee. And finally, today we see that this widow had a son that fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. We see the death of this widow woman. Oh, how many times have we felt that we serve the Lord? Then we see something terrible happen in our lives. We must think, why me, Lord? I've been serving so faithfully. Here she did as Elijah the prophet had asked. She served the Lord. Now her son is sick and has died. But we see in verse 18, she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into her loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. We see here how he prayed fervently again, as James 5 tells us of the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This man prayed for rain to stop. And we'll see later in this study that he will pray for the rain to resume. Here he prays for the life of a child. A man of prayer. A man of miracles. Let's note that Elijah did these miracles by the power of God. He was merely a tool in the hand of God. Anytime we set to a project at home and we have a nail we want to drive into the wood to make a shelf or a brace or something of that nature, we're just that hammer that's in the hand of God. We're just that tool. You've never seen a hammer just nail on a nail by itself, have you, without a hand being behind it. When we serve the Lord, we're just a tool in the hand of God. Elijah didn't save this child. He prayed fervently, and the Lord was behind Elijah. The Lord revived this man, this young man, this child, this son of the widow, and he revived. We see how that Elijah stretched himself upon the child. The word stretch there means he measured. It was noted by one brother that it was as if, by illustration, he was measuring himself out against this dead child. He could see himself in that son of the woman in his own shoes. Think of us as we know that we are dead in trespasses and sins before we come to Christ. We measure ourselves against God, and we see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must call upon the Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But we see here in the miracle that God did the miracle. And as in verse 23, Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Makes me think of how Thomas, there after Christ had rose from the dead and the disciples had seen him, but Thomas had not. And he said, I will not believe until I see him. Until I thrust my hand into his nail-pierced hands and side. Then 8 days later, he appeared unto Thomas. Christ said, Thomas, see my pierced hands, touch them, Thomas. Thomas didn't have to. He fell down and said, my Lord and my God. We see here a man that believed by sight. But we, as Christ said, blessed are those that have not seen, but believe. My friend, do you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins? That he is the living God? At the end of this chapter, we see that the woman said, how I know that thou art the man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. Will you accept the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. This is the one that died on the cross for your sins. Thy word is truth. Christ is willing to save you. Will you come unto him? Join us tomorrow as we look at chapter 18, the first Kings, with a man Elijah.